Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for Big Brother 19 on the morning of July 23rd. We're here to talk about everything that went down on the feeds yesterday. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today we have an American Ninja Warrior takeover, because I'm here with my American Ninja Warrior co-host, Lita. How you doing, Lita?
I'm good. I'm so glad that I'm here, because I think a lot of people don't know, like, my IQ and where I went to school, and that, like, my GPA is dance, and so I'm glad to get on more podcasts to kind of let people know so that they don't underestimate me.
Well, a little known fact, you are a member of Mensa, correct?
Yeah, I actually am, and, like, also my mom is, because it's genetic, so I'm glad that it was passed down to me.
All right. Well, we're here to talk about everything that happened on the feeds, give you an update of what's going on, and let's get right into it. In the morning, Jason had a conversation with Cody, and in this conversation, he revealed kind of a bit too much information here, especially in particular, the point of information that Cody was interested in was, oh, you voted to evict me. I thought that you had voted to keep me when I was up on the block. I didn't realize that. Not super happy.
No, not thrilled. Who knew that Whistle Nut wouldn't be able to keep a secret?
Yeah.
It's stunning.
And Jessica was like, why did he tell you that?
And Cody's like, literally no gain.
Yeah. Cody's like, because he's an idiot. You just get him talking and he just runs his mouth, which is definitely true of Jason.
Yeah. And I think he really thinks that it's like not a big deal. He was like, just so you know, like I couldn't go against the house. Like, you know, so that happened.
I mean, to be fair to Jason, I think he assumed that both of them knew already.
Yeah.
He didn't realize just how out of touch they were.
I guess that's possible.
Yeah. Okay. So. That, you know, not looking great for Jason. They actually said, you know, if we had known this before and that it wasn't Ramses and that it was Jason, we would have just put Jason on. So lucky for Jason that that they didn't know, I guess.
Yeah.
Kevin also had, this was interesting, I thought. Apparently, when the feeds were down, Kevin told Cody that he voted for Cody to stay, that he was that hinky vote, mm-hmm. and which makes Cody one of the few people who knows that for a fact. And they were a little sketched out about this. Like, wait a minute, why you were a hinky vote there? So wait, were you also the hinky vote with Jillian? I don't know about this.
Yeah, I mean, all this information is now out there because I think Jason also told them that Christmas was the other vote, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so now they're the only two with all of this information, which I think could be powerful, except I don't think that I trust them to know how to use it.
No, definitely not. So they are onto Kevin a little bit. Obviously, Kevin was revealing a little information there, but ultimately they end the day saying, I think Kevin's trustworthy. So Kevin's still good. We don't need to worry about Kevin. Although I do think that telling Cody about this vote was definitely a risky maneuver here. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll see. They pick the players for the veto. We have Jessica, Josh, Ramses, Christmas, Cody, and Jason playing in the power of veto. And ultimately, Jessica wins. So she has all the power. She's got HOH. She's got veto. She's got fresh new boyfriend back from the battle back. She's got a temptation, halting hex. What could possibly go wrong for Jessica, Lita?
She would have to have a fraction of an IQ point. And that's the only thing. Yeah, that's the only thing that she's missing. She has all the power that the game can give her, except an ounce of game sense.
Yeah. So just to set this up for anybody like who's like, all right, what's happening in the house? So Jessica, as I mentioned, she has all this power. HOH, veto, the boyfriend, the halting hex. It's everything. And looking at her allies, she's got Mark, who is fully on board with Cody and Jessica. And Mark is in love with them. He's like, oh, my God, I'm so glad you guys are back. I'm so happy. I felt it that week when I had to turn on you guys was just hell for me.
Mark is
I'm
a
so
shipper.
Happy.
He's in on Jody.
He is the beta to Cody's alpha. They fit like, you know, peas in a pod. And he's just very happy to be back. So he's in love. He's like, oh, I'm so happy here. Elena is on board with that to some extent. She's mm-hmm. like good with Cody and Jess coming back here for now. So those are the two people that are closest to them at the moment. And those are the two that they're like least trusting at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, Mark had a conversation with Cody where he said, you know, I was pretty sure Jess had the temptation. If Jess doesn't have it, then I don't know who does, which set Cody off because Cody knows that Jess has the temptation. He's like, why would Mark say that to me? Mm-hmm. He's already betrayed me before. They don't trust Mark and Elena too much when those are the two people that are most on board with them. The only two people that aren't currently planning on screwing them over in the vote right now.
Yeah. So, and Jessica's even like, it's to the point where Jessica's like, oh, well, I like Mark as a person. And Cody is like, I don't know if I like Mark as a person. It's like, what is the point? Like, it doesn't matter. That's not what you should be talking about.
Yeah, it's tricky here. And so they're kind of like, they're not trusting the people that are not planning on screwing them over. And the whole situation right now, Ramses, who wanted to work with Jessica, granted, he said he would have put them up on the block, but he said that to people who wanted them up on the block. Who knows how trustworthy that information is? Last week, he was saying that he wanted to work with Jessica, and he was making attempts to work with Jessica. So I have to imagine that if Jess and Cody were like, hey, Ramsey, work with us, he would have been like, yes,
yeah,
thank you,
for sure.
Anybody. So Ramsey's a potential ally. They're using him as a pawn. They're saying, you know, he's the perfect pawn because he has no allies and nobody cares if he goes up. But that also means that nobody cares if he goes home. So, and they're putting Josh up on the block, who is this big, boisterous, like, attack dog coming after them with the inoffensive person that's potentially one of their allies next to him. And they're leaving it up to these people who screwed them over the last time they were HOH with a pawn and a target. Everything they're doing is wrong. Everything.
Every single thing. And yes. Like, they have opportunities here. Like, I feel like Kevin and Jason, was it? We're talking about how, like, they don't really want to see Ramses go home. Like, they are actually good with Josh going home. And so, like, I feel like if Cody and Jessica knew and were willing to put in work, and I know they don't know because everybody has convinced them that Josh is the target, but that's partially on them for not knowing. Like, people are being good at keeping up this story, but they should be more wary and more suspicious. And I feel like if they were going to put in work, there's potential for a 5-5 here with Jessica as the HOH breaking a tie.
Yeah, I mean, there's everybody is contributing to this idea that we're tricking these people into thinking that we're all on board and evicting Josh. Mm-hmm. Basically, with Jess winning the veto, everybody's like, okay, just make sure she doesn't use the veto, because all she needs to do to ensure Josh goes home is use the veto on Ramses, put basically anybody up in his place, and Josh is going home. Mm-hmm. But she thinks that Ramses is the one person that would send Josh home in a very, like, a great way. So we have Josh isolating himself in the have-not room, doing his best impression of Dominique, just being like, I'm out of this. I know I'm going home. And everybody else going up to Jessica and Cody and saying, yeah, Josh, he's just out of here. Who knows? You know, it's just how the cookie crumbles. Mm-hmm. And man, all Jess needs to do is sniff this thing out. It still could theoretically happen. And then use the veto on Ramses. And we could see an interesting week play up from there. But as it stands, she's very happy to not use the veto. And Ramses, in that case, will stay up on the block. And as long as nobody screws this up, you know, Josh wanted to go after them at the veto ceremony, and Paul was like, no, wait until eviction night. Okay. As long as nothing changes, it does look like they are about to be blindsided a second time.
Yep. And Josh has it all planned out to go off. He's talking to the feeds last night saying that he's ready to let all hell break loose after that vote. But yeah, and I think part of it is just that Jessica feels so comfortable because she has all these powers and now she has Cody, that she would rather be up there, you know, hanging out with her boyfriend than like out in the house maneuvering and talking to people, because she really feels like she doesn't have to. She just has so many security nets that it's almost bad for her. It's like looped back around to be just not good for her game. She's too distracted.
Yeah, I mean, it's really like, I mean, if you're not watching the feeds, just picture, it's basically, for the most part, Jessica and Cody up in the HOH room, like, yes, we have everything under control, while Paul and Christmas run around downstairs, like, all right, we're good to screw them over, right? Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, all right, yeah. We're good. I mean, that's what happens. You gotta watch out for that.
Yeah.
So
the only good part about all this for me about Cody coming back and Jessica having all these abilities is that we can get off of this ridiculous week where everybody was in on Jessica for like 1 second. I was never about that. It's like, you guys are all too fickle. I've decided that I am not Team Jessica. Let's just all stick with it. So now everybody's back on my side.
Well, once they get screwed over, they'll be underdogs again. So watch out.
But there's no more. We can't give her another halting hex, at least.
That's true.
As far as we know.
The one. That's really all they need. And that's the thing, because this week is probably going to blow up in their face, very much like that veto competition. But she does have the halting hex, and that will protect her and Cody. So honestly, I could see this falling on Mark and Elena instead, because what's happening right now is that nobody's telling Mark and Elena the plan. They're the only two who are not in on the plan to screw Jess and Cody over. Mark is very much in love with Jess and Cody, and they're keeping them in the dark. And the fracture here in the Showmance Alliance, Matt and Raven, Mark and Elena, is widening. It's getting to the point where they're saying, okay, so Jess and Cody next, but maybe also Mark as an alternative target. He's just too sketchy. He's trying to play both sides. They're not happy with what Mark is doing, basically running right straight back to Cody as soon as he comes back into the house.
Yeah. What are they? Marvin, Maven. What is their name?
Maven.
Maven. I like Marvin better. They are really suspicious of Mark and Elena flitting back and forth between them and Jessica and Cody. And obviously after this week, the lines are going to be drawn because they're left in the dark of this plan. I'm just hoping that, you know, for the sake of one side not steamrolling the other, that Cody and Jess start to develop some sort of loyalty to Mark and Elena after this blind side happens, where they realize, like, okay, we're all on the same side here. We need to help each other. So maybe the halting hex can be used for their benefit as well.
Potentially. But at the moment, they're still not even on board with them. And I also have to imagine, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Do you think Paul tells Mark and Elena eventually, before the vote comes down, hey guys, actually, we've been thinking, and maybe we should evict Ramses here instead of Josh?
No,
maybe that's the better move.
I don't think he's going to do that. And I base that on the conversation that he had with Matt last night, which I have a lot of thoughts about. This is a very frustrating conversation to watch, in my opinion. But Matt is saying, like, hey, this plan could backfire. Like, we're making a lot of enemies here, that if we do this, you know, Matt saying, I'm on board to evict Ramses, but it really ups our odds of, you know, two of us being put up on the block and one of us going home next week. And Paul is just shutting it down and saying, yeah, but I'm the one who'll take the hit, and I'm willing to do that, and I'm willing to make a risky move. And Matt is like, okay, but like, you going up is not good for my game. And like, you know, you're playing kind of selfishly. And Paul is just not hearing him. And to Paul, he's just saying, it doesn't matter if they're mad at us. There's more of us than there are of them. There's seven of us, and there's, you know, five of them. And it doesn't matter. They don't have any power because there's more of us, and I'll be the target and whatever. And all of that is just so inconsiderate, and it's selfish. And I think it's fine to say to someone like Matt, who's, you know, Matt's not going to go and be like, hey, Paul's not a great ally, because I just don't think Matt cares enough. But I feel like if Paul is talking to this way in the future to someone like Alex, or someone who has like a little bit more agency in the game, this could be really bad, because he's not listening. He's not hearing other ideas, and he's not considering any way that this could be dangerous. And I just think that he's so confident in this plan, and that it doesn't matter if people are mad at him, that he's not going to bother telling Mark and Elena.
Yeah, people were like, whoa, since when is Matt involved in the game?
Yeah.
Matt is like, hold on, maybe, you know, I'm thinking we should try to be good with everybody coming into next week. And I feel like this makes us some enemies. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is the best move. Thing is, though, I don't think we should jump the gun here. I don't think Matt has entered the game. What he said was, is this the right move just like a week before jury?
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, Matt doesn't want to upset the apple cart 1 week before. He doesn't want to go out 1 week before jury. He's like, we can do this move once we hit jury. I just don't want to go out before jury. Just let's hit jury first, then we'll make risky moves.
Oh, I am not trying to commend Matt's gameplay here. I'm just saying he happened to be the one to bring up the point, you know, that this might not be the good plan. And he happened to be the one to get Paul to say all these things that I think you don't really want in an ally. And like I said, I think it's okay that Paul was, I think it's going to be fine that Matt and Raven were the yeah. Rob's comment, he doesn't want to upset the Applejacks. I think it's fine that Matt and Raven were the ones who were there, but it just revealed some tendencies that Paul is getting so confident, and maybe deservedly, but I think that if Paul keeps behaving this way and not considering the other perspectives from his allies and just being like, it doesn't matter if people are mad at us, I'm in charge of everything, so they'll target me, and not realizing how that affects the other people in his alliance, I think that could be bad news for Paul going forward.
Yeah, I think the thing that he has going for him is that Raven is fully on board with this plan. Yeah. And as long as Raven is on board, then Raven can do the heavy lifting when it comes to making sure Matt is on board. And Matt can't raise too much of a fuss when his own showman's partner is saying, no, I think this is the right move. Mm-hmm. However, I do think that Paul will tell Elena. I think he has to tell Elena. Elena is very much still pro Paul. She loves Paul. I mean, so does Mark, but he has what Paul needs to do, I think, is go to Elena and say, look, I feel like other people have been telling Matt and Raven have been telling me that they're really sketched out about Ramses, and we just feel better about Josh. And so we're thinking maybe of flipping the vote. Get Elena on board. Paul can do that. I think Paul can change Elena's mind. Elena's not super set on taking Josh out. She's not like in love with Cody and Jess the same way that Mark is. And then once Elena is on board, you get Elena to go to Mark and say, hey, Mark, look, this is what we have to do. And once he does that, then he hasn't made too many enemies. The only person he needs to worry about winning HOH is Cody. And with Mark having turned on Cody again, Cody will be pissed at Mark. He'll be pissed at Matt. He'll be pissed at everybody along with Paul. There'll be lots of targets in surrounding him. So I feel like that's the move here. You have to do that. There's not too much risk either.
Oh, I for sure think it is the right move. I just don't think that it's going to happen with the headspace that Paul is in right now.
Yes. And Nikki does point out Elena does like Ramses. I do think that's the one roadblock here. However, the plan is to take Josh out and then Ramses, and Elena knows that. And so I think she's willing to let him go. And I think that if she sees that Paul is on board with this and that everyone else is backing it too, and that her and Mark are the only ones left out, I do think that she will be like, okay, yeah, I'm on board with this. I'll go along.
Yeah, for sure. She likes Ramses, but she really likes Paul.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, last night,
yeah,
wow.
Yes.
She got a little tipsy and she was just like hands all over him.
There was
like,
a lot of rubbing. There was a lot of caressing. It was happening. And Mark was like there.
Yeah, Mark was like sitting on the bed, like with his patented tilted head, just like staring at them. Like,
yeah, he was giving his best Cody impression. Listen, some people are touchy drunks. It happens.
It does. Yeah. I was going to say that he was giving his best Caleb impression from Big Brother 16 when Caleb was just watching Amber and Cody. It was very much just like just stare down.
Yeah. If people don't know what we're talking about, it was between Elena and Paul. I don't know if we made that clear. But
yes, Elena was very much all over Paul. I looked for a great GIF to show an example on Twitter, but I couldn't find it.
There was a great one of Ramses doing the same thing to Matt, but I think it was a little less loaded.
Okay. All right. So we also had Alex and Jessica. Alex was telling Jess basically, I'm not sure. I'm not sure which way I'm going to vote. I'm not super happy about these nominations, and I don't know where I'm going to land, which is kind of ticking Jess off. She's saying if Alex doesn't vote with us, she's my next target. However, this could be the better strategy here. You want to get people pissed off at you in advance, because then when Jess and Cody are blindsided, it's going to be like, well, I knew Alex was going to be sketchy, but I got screwed by these people. So I'm kind of liking this by Alex. It is putting her in kind of a tricky spot. She better hope that this falls through that this comes through and that the plan, stays. But I do kind of like this. I feel like because she's being a little upfront ahead of time, she will not be the person that Cody goes after if Cody wins this HOH and is out for revenge.
Yeah, well, I don't think Cody's going to go after her regardless. I feel like Cody has so few people that he even likes, let alone trusts at all or respects, that I feel like he's someone who, just because he likes and, you know, admires Alex or whatever, he's not going to go after her.
Yeah. And also Alex was basically saying, like, I didn't even like these nominations in the first place. You kind of put me in a tricky spot. So it's kind of like, again, it's with Alex, it's like, well, she didn't like what we were doing. Whereas with somebody like Paul or everybody else who's like, oh, yes, this is the best. Mm-hmm. They're like, you guys pretended to be on board. You supported this. You told me that you were going to vote with me. And then you screwed me. As opposed to Alex is like, well, I don't really like this right now. Normally, that's not the best strategy. But when you know there's a plan to screw them over, getting it out ahead of time, I do think is the right move. So I'm liking what Alex is doing there. Jason, on the other hand, again, running his mouth a bit too much.
Jason, no subtlety. I can't, he's just full of surprises.
Yes. So Josh, again, he's also he has gone to Jessica to say, look, Jess, I just want some peaceful last few days in the house. He's really enjoying playing this up. He's doing a good job.
Yeah, he's laying it on a little thick, but I also think that Jessica does not care about Josh enough to like pick up on the subtleties of his, like, whether he's lying or not or being overly dramatic. I think Jessica just doesn't want to be talking to Josh.
Do you think Josh can last an entire week without letting it like showing that he's planning on staying in the house?
Yeah, I actually do. I think that he is committed, and I think that Josh is someone that he might not have the best like strategic sense, but if his allies and people he trusts tell him just do this one thing, like this is your only job, I think that he will be very good at, like, you know, sticking to that and being able to follow through with it.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that he's really enjoying playing the role because like what Josh wants to do in this game is just like play it hardcore and just like play up the roles, call people out, you know, pretend he's down and then spring up at the eviction ceremony. It's you know, Josh is enjoying this, and I think that he's going to have a meatball will somebody be called at the eviction.
You meatballs are getting played.
Yes. Another little piece of controversy. We saw a photo from the HOH competition. Christmas apparently was able to use her little scooter in the competition where you have to hold something up against a wall. A lot of people are like, whoa, 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 this is unfair. And I completely agree with them. It's completely unfair that Christmas was at such a disadvantage that she had to have a broken foot and a scooter. That seems really unfair to me. Right, Lita?
Well, I don't know, because, well, I'd have to see what this competition is. I understand your perspective that it sucks from in the first place that she's not able to participate in these. But I feel like at what point are you giving someone like more of an advantage if they're able to just like basically like half sit down during one of these?
Yeah, that was my joke. Well, people are upset because she has this. They feel like it's an advantage. However, from my perspective, looking at this, right, you look at Ramses, who's standing on 2 feet, and then you look at Christmas, who's like having to balance between the scooter. She's got a broken foot that I'm sure is an immense pain distracting her. I feel like it's a lot more difficult for Christmas than somebody who just gets to stand. Standing is your natural position. I feel like anybody that's complaining, first, before you start complaining, just like, Get like a knee high thing and then put your knee on it and see what's easier, standing like that or standing with 2 feet. And then if you really want to make it fair, break your foot and see which is easier. And we can start complaining.
But that's what I'm saying. And that's why I didn't think you were joking, because I understand that like it probably is more of a disadvantage in some competitions. I think what people are more upset about is just like, you know, people have been talking about slippery slopes this whole season with Christmas, where it's like, OK, well, maybe for this competition, it wasn't an advantage. But like, you know, going forward, when is she allowed to use the scooter? Like, when might it be beneficial? And like, how do we be the arbiter of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously that's something that we need to be on the lookout for. However, I think this is not the case where I think this was an event. I think that the fact that Christmas managed to stay in this competition with a broken foot for 3 hours means that she probably would have won this competition without a broken foot. That's my opinion.
I think the real injustice is, why didn't Raven get a scooter? How is she managing?
Well, you know, it's she likes to be humble. She doesn't want to put too much attention onto herself.
Onto
she
her
probably
foot,
was offered
yeah.
a scooter. They probably were like, hey, Raven, do you need a scooter? And she's like, no, I can do it. Don't worry about it. I don't want to draw attention.
She's so brave.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
You don't want to talk about how they all got sloppy drunk and talked about absinthe? That was clearly important strategic talk.
Well, this is clearly something you want to talk about.
No, there was literally nothing. They all just had like a little party. They were talking a lot about Big Brother 18. Paul was basically explaining how Big Brother works to Cody. And Ramsey was sitting there like, that's the only season I've seen, like, yeah. as Ramsey's does. But there really wasn't too much strategy last night after the alcohol arrived. It was just a lot of that conversation between Matt and Paul.
And we should say this is a pretty rare occurrence on this season. We haven't gotten a lot of alcohol at all so far. We definitely got to see Elena a little tipsy. we saw Ramses admit to Paul that he had a big crush on him.
Oh my gosh, I did want to bring this up. This whole thing was just so, like, for all the comments already about people just like sucking kneecaps with Paul and just like totally doing everything that Paul says, and then everyone like goes around the room and is like, I had a crush on you, Paul, like, I follow you on Instagram, Paul. It was so much.
Yeah, you know, he's a rock star. He drinks absinthe everywhere he goes.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. All right. Let me know if you have any questions in the chat. Otherwise, we will start wrapping this up soon. Make sure you check out tonight's episode recap with Karen Singbiel from Big Brother Canada 5. Going to be very fun. I believe she's on with Brent, which is going to be a great pairing.
That's so exciting.
Yes. It will be after the West Coast airing of Big Brother because Rob will be busy with the Snow It Alls after Game of Thrones. Make sure you also check that out because Game of Thrones is awesome. And then check out the live feed or the LFC Roundtable podcast tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern, in which Lita will be joining me along with Liana and John Krause. We will have a replacement team, a replacement LFC
B-squad.
This is like Designated Survivor, if you've seen that show, where like all of the government is wiped out and like we just have to bring in an entire new government. This is like we have to bring in an entire new LFC because someone bombed the rest of the LFC and they're just gone.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to be part of the Designated Survival team. As nice as that you made that sound, definitely didn't make it seem like we are the backup to the backup.
Yes, Rob says he's Designated Big Brother. Mm-hmm. Yes, and we will also be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern for the next live feed update. So make sure you keep on the lookout for that. And also, The Taran Show, episode 2 with Brent Wolgamott will be airing on Tuesday. So keep on the lookout for that as well.
And
lots of stuff.
There's also another podcast that you should probably check out.
I don't know what you're talking about, Leah. What podcast?
You know what? Never mind. Taran clearly does not care about our side gig here. But if you want to check out American Ninja Warrior, you know, please do, even if Taran doesn't want you to.
Listen, it's a great podcast. There's just one of the co-hosts can be a little difficult and is just not the most fun to record always. So, you know, I try not to bring it up.
It's fine. You can check it out. We'll record that at some point this week if Taran ever gets through all of his other projects.
Yes. The final rounds for the city city finals rounds are starting for America. This is exactly what to expect on the American Ninja Warrior podcast. They're starting up, so make sure you check out that. We're lining up some more guests as well, so that'll be a lot of fun. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.